Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now it's time for this.
News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Evershed Sutherland, Ireland's largest and most established global law firm, with full service teams for your legal and tax solutions.
And I'm delighted to welcome to the Executive Chair, Kieran Ivers. He's the Chief Executive Officer at Green Rebel. Kieran, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks for having me, Bobby.
Well, lovely to talk to you. We'll come to all the Green Rebel stuff in a minute, but let's bring you back to East Cork, indeed, to the lovely seaside village of Ballycotton. I'm told that your first real job was selling cauliflower off the back of a tractor. Tell me more about that.
I suppose it was less than selling, more than setting cauliflower off the back of a tractor.
Somebody else did the sales, did they?
I don't think I had a childhood, Bobby. I think from the age of 12, we were up kind of supporting, working with local farmers, and anyone my age kind of at that time kind of picked up whatever you could, I suppose. And look, it was great times and, you know, good introduction to the world of business, I suppose, no matter how kind of, you know, agricultural it might have been. But, you know, I think it was the same back in the, you know, 90s. You know, I don't think age was a blocker to you going out to work and earning a few bob, you know.
Yeah, it's funny as well that as our careers developed, you know, we don't often, but on reflection, some of those earlier jobs that we did, be it working with the cauliflowers or fixing roofs, I think, as you did yourself, yeah, they are kind of character building, aren't they?
They absolutely are character building. I mean, even in between through my teens working in restaurants, you know yourself being able to multitask, having so much stuff in your head, all character building. You know, when I spent quite a bit of time up in roofing carpentry, and, you know, definitely climbing up icy scaffolding bars on a cold January morning, if that's not character building, I don't know what is.
Well, good man. So it was off to Waterford Institute of Technology. You studied marketing there, and I know you worked with in the advertising selling space with Cawley Knee. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. So that was probably my first kind of long-term job out of university or the college. Cawley Knee at the time, TBWA up in Rathmines, was you know, during the Celtic Tiger as well. It was a very vibrant, very fast-paced company, and it kind of gave me a sense the types of clients I worked with at the time, the likes of Bord na Mona, ESV, Topaz, McDonald's, Audi, just variety. And, you know, again, being able to, you know, switch your brain from one thing, which might be TV ad that was currently being developed, down to some point of sale, maybe on a forecourt. Again, variety in that instance, I think it suited me, and it suits my personality as well. It's always trying kind of something different. And, you know, that experience as well, I think, was a springboard for me. You know, we were there kind of when the Celtic Tiger ended. And like many advertising companies at the time, they became very lean in a very short space of time. And that kind of pushed kind of the middle tier into positions where they had more responsibility, and it was a sink or swim type scenario. So hugely.
Do you still, when you look at the advertising industry now, and even since your own days in it, Kieran, there's been huge change there, hasn't there, in terms of even what they sell and how they sell it?
A huge change. I mean, when I was there, it was really in the advent of social media, and it's gone. You know, marketing is very much data led now, and you know, creativity, you know, is very much based on data. I'm instinctive, so I suppose I look back and I look at marketing, but I look at ads on the TV the same way that people look at films and movies. I like to look at them and say, okay, what is the insight that is driving this? And yeah, it's changed dramatically, but I suppose fundamentally, marketing in my mind is what keeps things moving.
Yeah.
Need is a precursor to selling, and I would recommend to anybody marketing is even putting yourself in the shoes of the consumer and having more empathy. Because later in my career, I moved into selling, and I would attribute marketing and the baseline I got there as a huge benefit.
You worked in Ulster Bank. I think you found that maybe corporate life of that at that scale, certainly, that wasn't maybe for you. And you entered. You worked with an interesting startup called Popolo. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Populo is a company in Cork. Now, again, being a Cork man in Dublin, home country is always calling. Road frontage will also get you back to Cork. But I moved down after nearly 10 years in Dublin, and I joined a company called Populo. It was led by a man called Andrew O'Shaughnessy, who is a former executive chair himself. You've interviewed him. But
yeah.
No, there was a company that was a startup with big ambition. I was certainly in the maybe first 30. That grew to 300 employees over a 10-year period. And it gave me a sense of, you know, we're taking on the likes of Microsoft, the likes of Facebook, selling technologies into large multinational companies. And very often it's more than just having a great product, but the standards you need to uphold and how you deal with large companies was a huge learning there. We almost had a blowfish mentality, kind of every win, every success you're having, you have to amplify that to really impress those caliber of clients. So we, you know, I recall walking into headquarters in Nestle in Vevey with a laptop under my arm, trying to sell and trying to convince those companies that there's a tech company down in Cork that can perform better and be more nimble for your requirements. So under Andrew, it's one of those experiences, Bobby, which is very hardly replicated in any work environment, where there's a movement created and where Andrew as a leader is looking at his people and investing in his people, and those people then look after the rest. And
yeah,
what a journey. And that exited in 2021. And it was, you know, again, every employee in that company did well, is how it was set up. So a huge learning curve and leadership styles that I certainly try and bring into how I operate.
Yeah. And to be part of a successful startup, the pace of change within the business. How many years were you in Populo?
I was there for 10 years.
Yeah, okay. So you saw, you know, the embryonic start, the accelerated growth, and then you saw, it's again nice to see shared success and everybody moving on.
Absolutely. And everyone who has moved on from my peer group, again, has just taken that experience and has just really moved on to the next level. So very fortunate across all my jobs, even back to school days, just having mentors that, you know, have an enabling attitude rather than
micromanagement
attitude was just, you know, hugely beneficial to me personally.
So tell us about Green Rebel then. It's a very interesting space, you know, in the, that you're, you know, you're surveying the depths of the ocean for all these possibilities, wind energy, tidal energy. And again, it must be a pretty exciting space.
Yeah, so post-Populo, again, I suppose my career, again, it being so varied, I kind of said, well, look, let's try something different again. And Green Rebel was back to square one. It's a startup. It was a startup. It was founded in 2020 with a view to looking at the potential for, in particular, offshore wind and the opportunities that creates in Ireland. You know, Ireland doesn't have a very strong history of benefiting from a socioeconomic perspective from harnessing our own natural resources. So Green Rebel was set up really to ensure that, you know, the jobs and the work packages that are going to be created from this, you know, that it's Irish companies and that it's Irish prosperity which will be nurtured. So we set up we're looking at data acquisition, looking at marine technologies that inform environmental impact, that inform engineering design of offshore wind farms. And we initially focus our efforts, being a Cork-based company, looking at the south coast of Ireland. We done a good body of work, but very quickly, the demand for the services that we offer, we've extended to the east coast of Ireland. We've done a huge amount of work with the likes of SSE and others, companies as well that invested in supporting Ireland. But subsequently, in recent years, we've exported and have worked much further afield in a very short space of time.
So, Ciarán, this is one of the things I really wanted to ask you is, you know, we've heard about the opportunity that's there around harnessing our wind resources. We seem to have disappointed, though, as a nation when it comes to offshore wind.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. In the sense, you know, it's a very political topic, and we often hear narrative around where the Saudi Arabia of our of the world in relation to the abundance of natural resource we have in that area. I think it's worth taking a helicopter view, though, and looking at progress that's been made in the last 2 to 3 years in the establishment of various government departments to support this versus the previous maybe 20 years when very little happened.
Yeah.
You know, us as an industry, we're definitely, you know, keen to move and move as fast as you can. Private industry will always do that. But I believe it will come. Green Rebel is, you know, Ireland has space for 10 or 20 companies like Green Rebel. We're almost feel as though we're beating a path down for the companies that will follow. We've made every mistake you can make. But, you know, we do want to kind of demonstrate that there, Ireland as a nation and the skill sets that exist in Ireland, we can do this from Ireland, and we don't require the large multinationals from Denmark or from the Netherlands to come in as they had done in previous times to do this work. And none of the social value is residual in Ireland.
Yeah. And the type of work you do then, just, I suppose, in layman's language, you'll yeah. survey an area or a sandbank or whatever, be it as it will, and you'll then advise companies who are interested in prospecting and setting up wind farms on this particular geology.
Correct. So yeah. Consider an investigation area, maybe a 500 square kilometre area at sea. We have various vessels. So we have 3 vessels currently operating across Europe now, as it happens. We will, in the same way, if you can imagine that you're cutting the grass at home, you kind of run lines up and down, up and down, up and down. We have various instruments that will characterise the seabed, and they will indicate bedrock, or they will indicate, as you said, like sand areas. And all of that data, and data is key. Data is what informs, you know, the likely ecological impact of turbines, the likely engineering design of turbines, foundation design. We also have apparatus that will measure wind. So we will look over a 24-month period and kind of give average wind speeds at heights. So that's really interesting, really, you know, industry-leading technologies that have been created in Ireland.
Okay.
So all of the data is designed to inform if the wind farm's location is suitable.
And I suppose, finally then, if you say that there could be 8 or 9 or 10 or more companies such as your own, the prospects looking forward must be exceptionally bright, are they?
I would say so. I mean, certainly over the next, you know, industry reports, or sorry, government reports kind of talk about, look, we will need 10,000 people working in this brand new industry in Ireland over the next 10 years, 10, 15 years to achieve what we want to achieve. Bobby, the reality is we're a country at full employment, and we're a country that's always excelled in technology, always excelled in other areas. So looking at the opportunity for Ireland in the technology space, where we don't require 10,000 people, where we can harness things like artificial intelligence and other technologies, which negates the need to have that many people. That is a huge opportunity for Ireland.
Yeah.
You know, it's about developing IP in Ireland, not just for Ireland, but then, as Ireland has always done, exporting that to the world. So, for sure, there's huge opportunity when this gets going.
All right. And then, very finally, I'm told that you once served a coffee to James Bond. Just give us that story, if you would.
I was working on Topaz account back in the day, and Roger Moore, James Bond, was a UNICEF ambassador. So we were doing a shoot down in Dublin Port, and Roger said, I'll have a coffee, in his posh British accent. And you can't help but say, do you want a shake and not stirred? But I can assure you his coffee was stirred and not shaken in that instance. But
Well done to you, Kieran Ivers, CEO of Green Rebel. Thanks for joining us this week in the Executive Chair.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.